The following is a synopsis of the Rebbe's talks of Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim, Zach Shvat, the 27th of Shvat, Mevarchem HaChedesh Adar Rishon, Hey Tavshin and Beis, corresponding to 1992. The Rebbe begins by referring to a well-known premise that everything that happens in this world has to serve as a lesson for us, because everything is by divine providence. How much more so when we're talking about a very central and a very significant world affairs that involves superpowers. And that's why the Rebbe says that we have to learn a very important lesson from the events that have happened, especially events that involve such important affairs regarding the superpowers. What we're talking about is that the leaders of various countries have gathered Erev Shabbos of Parshas Mishpatim, and it is continuing on the Shabbos, in which they made a revolutionary resolution with regard to the relationships between these countries to remove all the state of war between these countries, to reduce the weapons and armaments, and to use them for positive goals that will develop the economy of these countries and that will bring peace and unity. And this partnership between these two countries would benefit all of humanity. And since we're talking about a very important event, that means the lesson from this also is a crucial lesson in the service of the Jewish people in terms of their bringing to the days of Mashiach. And one of the predictions and prophecies of the future redemption is V'chitzesu charbaisim le'itim v'chaniseseyim le'mazmeres le'yisa goyel goycherev le'yimud o'im l'chama, that the swords will be turned into plowshares and there will be no more war. Now, this is not something that happens on its own without a leader. This happens as part of the activities and the efforts of Mashiach himself, as our commentaries tell us, that Mashiach will be a judge amongst the nations. And therefore, he will create a situation in which peace will prevail, and that it would obviate the need for weapons. And this resolution of eliminating weapons has already begun now, and that is the beginning of the fulfillment of this prophecy. And now we're seeing the realization of the prophecy that the swords are turned into plowshares. And since this is one of the activities of Mashiach, that's why we have to find a connection between these events and Mashiach himself. In other words, besides the fundamental connection to redemption in general, that we can see the ramifications of these events as they pertain to redemption, that we also have to see how this connects to the activities of Mashiach. Now, we have to first look at where this event has taken place. It happened in the same city of Beis Rabbeinu Shebabavel, the house of our teacher, of our master in Bavel in Babylonia, a reference to the central synagogue in the Babylonia of old, but the Rebbe applies this to 770, which is the house of the leader of our generation. The Rebbe refers to his father-in-law, the previous Rebbe. He chose this place to be his permanent place from which all of the activities of disseminating the fountains emanate from. This is the place in the lower hemisphere, as the previous Rebbe referred to it, in which the Torah was not given. And from this place, in this lower hemisphere, this dissemination of Torah will spread to the whole world to such an extent that this location, though it is the so-called lower hemisphere, will influence even the upper hemisphere in which the Torah was given. And an integral part of his activities was the dissemination of righteousness and decency amongst the nations of the world as well, through the dissemination of the seven Noahide commandments. And indeed, as we get closer and closer to the time of redemption, that we see the effect that it has on the nations, as it says that then he will turn to all the nations, that they will all call out together in the name of God. So we see that these activities to disseminate the seven Noahide commandments amongst the nations has become stronger and stronger as we get closer to the Geula, to the redemption. This is also expressed and has manifested itself in the fact that the former Soviet Union has collapsed. For many years, they declared war against the dissemination of Torah and Judaism, and in the most recent period, that decree of the government has been abolished, and they allow the dissemination of Judaism, which occurred even before, but only underground, and now it is in an open and demonstrable manner. Now, this meeting, Rebbe referred to before, of the leaders of these two countries getting together for disarmament, where did it occur? It occurred also in the city of the leader of our generation. And this again alludes to the fact that all of what's happening occurred because of his activities in the dissemination of Torah and righteousness, including amongst the nations of the world, as we just said. And the leader of the generation is the Mashiach of the generation. And this activity is the beginning of the fulfillment of the prophecy of the swords being transformed into plowshares that will happen through Mashiach. And in general, whatever happens, the fact that it happened in this city is also instructive, because this is the city in which the representatives of all the countries of the world gather together. And the reason why it was chosen, Rebbe is referring to the UN, that the UN was chosen to be located in this city is because this is the place of the leader of the generation. And moreover, we look at the chronology of events, how this institution developed and how it evolved, that it corresponds to the degree in which the leader of our generation settled in this city. The UN was first established in the years Tavshin Bei to Tavshin Hei, 1942 to 1945, which was very close to the time that the leader of our generation came to this lower hemisphere. And the building of the UN occurred in Tavshin Yud Aleph, 5711, 1951, approximately, which is the beginning of the new era. That's when the Rebbe became Rebbe. And from there onward, as the more we refine the world as through the efforts of the leader of the generation, it brings more strength and stability to this organization. Now, this explains the internal connection to the place in which the resolution was accepted, and also it's connected to the time. It happened Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is an allusion to the day of permanent Shabbos, the true and complete redemption. The nature of this rest, it says in the Medrash, is that we get rid of all harmful influences, such as weapons, eliminating them from the world. So that ties in with the fact that it's Erev Shabbos. Moreover, we know there's a law that we're supposed to add on to Shabbos. From the weekday, we add on to Shabbos. And that's why in Erev Shabbos, in the time that's close to Geula, we already see the materialization of this resting, this reduction of weapons, of the destructive elements. Now, the Medrash mentions, when it talks about the idea of adding on to Shabbos, that there's a parable that could help illustrate what this addition is all about. It's like a wolf who devours from before and from after. That means we have to devour, take over some of the weekday before the Shabbos and after the Shabbos. This parable gives us a deeper understanding of the law of adding on to Shabbos. Not only is it that the time that is close to Shabbos, you have to already conduct yourself as a time of rest, as we do on Shabbos itself, but it remains weekdays. No, this day actually becomes sanctified with the holiness of Shabbos, just like that wolf that devours, and the Shabbos devours the time before it and the time after. That means that the seventh day already begins on the sixth day, before the stars come out, and that becomes an integral part of Shabbos. The same thing over here, that this Erev Shabbos, it's the Erev of the permanent and eternal Shabbos, when all harmful influences will cease, is already considered part of the time of Geula, of redemption, And that's why we're seeing the fulfillment of one of the predictions and prophecies concerning redemption, that the swords will be turned into plowshares. And this is also connected, the Rebbe says, to the date in the month, the 26th day of the month. 26 is the gematria, the numerical equivalent of God's name, Havaya, which also alludes to the situation that will be in the future. Because we know that in the time of exile, God's presence is contracted and it is darkness. We don't see the godly light. It's the name of Elohim, the divine name that is responsible for God's concealed presence in this world. In the future, godliness will be fully revealed, as it says, and the glory of God will be revealed, and every flesh will see God's presence. That is the name Havaya. And this idea of the name Havaya, which is the name responsible for creation, is underscored even more when it occurs on a Friday, which is the creation of the first person, Adam. And since he is the whole goal and objective of the entire creation, so that day in which he was created, on the sixth day of the week, that brings a new dimension to all of creation. So even though the first day of creation was on a Sunday, the 25th of Elul, but since this day, the sixth day of the week, is the day in which Adam is created, who is the essence of all of creation, that's why the new dimension of creation begins from Adam. And through him, all of creation is renewed, because everything was created because of him. Just in the beginning of creation, everything was created before Adam, because everything was created for his benefit. That day will come that everything should be prepared for him, that he shouldn't have to wait for everything to be ready to be used in his service to God. But in truth, all of what happens to the creation begins with Adam, because he is the cause of all of creation. Now there's an additional connection to this time, to the leader of our generation, which is the fact that it's the month of Shvat. The 10th of Shvat is the day of his Hilula, the day of his passing. As we know, that the day of a person's passing, that's when your entire life's work comes to its state of perfection and completion. And this involves his efforts to disseminate Torah and also to disseminate the laws that govern the nations of the world. And this is symbolically expressed by virtue of the fact that the nations of the world in this month came to the conclusion that they have to turn their swords into plowshares. Now there's also a connection to the Parsha of the week, which is Mishpatim. On the words, the opening words of the Parsha, these are the Mishpatim, the judgments that you should place before them. So Rashi observes that the word these is prefaced with a vav, and these, to tell you that just like the laws that we read in last week's portion were given at Mount Sinai, same thing is true about the laws in this week's portion. They were also given at Mount Sinai. And we also derive from this, it says you should place these judgments lifnehem, before them, that the judgments have to be given to Jewish judges, that one is not permitted to go to a secular court, even though they may rule similarly to a Jewish court. What is the reason? The reason is that the whole foundation of Torah and its commandments is not based on human logic, it's based on God's command. And this is the meaning of the interpretation of our sages. These are the laws that are connected to the earlier laws that were given at Mount Sinai, that these laws in Mishpatim, which are rational laws, laws that govern our relationships between people within society, that are based on human logic, we have to fulfill them because they are God's commandment. Misinai, they came from Sinai, and that's why one cannot go to a non-Jewish court, even though the bottom line that they would rule similarly to a Jewish court, because they do it based on human logic, and we do it because it's God's command. Moreover, the fact itself that these laws can be understood logically, that's because they are commandments in the Torah that involve human logic. In other words, God wanted that these commandments, though they come from him and they transcend logic, but he wants them to be enclosed within logic, within God's wisdom, which is the Torah, and through that they become understood by us as well. Now, since the Torah is the source and foundation of everything that happens in this world, that's why the nature of the world, including the nature of our intellect, establishes that these things should also be understood and compelled by logic. And that gives us a deeper understanding of the interpretation of our sages when they connect these laws, ve'ela, they are connected to the earlier laws, that this is not just an addition, but this is an addition, a qualitative addition, that there's an addition and an additional quality, preeminent quality that these mitzvahs have over other commandments, because these mitzvahs permeate the intellect of a person. They enter into human reason and human logic. And that's the meaning of the words, Mosif al harishanim. They add on the earlier commandments that came from Sinai. The meaning of Sinai, as explained in Chassidus, is what happened at Sinai is not that God introduced mitzvahs that were never known before. They knew the mitzvahs, but Sinai removed the gzeira, the decree, the separation between the upper and lower spheres. And as in a general way, it is explained in Chassidus that after the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, holiness was able to be drawn into this world and permeate the physical world, which is something that couldn't have been done before Sinai. So what happens in this parasha is that God's wisdom, which is Elyonim, the upper sphere, it's beyond our realm of logic, has penetrated into the lower sphere, into the human mind and human intellect, and a human mind should also understand these laws. Now, just like it's true that mitzvahs have to be not because of the logic, because they're compelled by logic, but because they were commanded by God, the same thing is true with regard to the observance of the seven Noahide commandments. The commandment that is given to the nations of the world is they should recognize that this is God's commandment, not just because it's rational and it makes sense and it's good for everyone, but as the Rambam writes, that only a person, talking about a non-Jewish person, who observes the seven Noahide commandments because they were given at Sinai by God's command, only then could it be considered chassid umas ha'olam, the pious of the nations of the world. So this explains the connection between what happened to Parshas Mishpatim. This idea that the swords will be turned into plowshares is something that's logical. Human logic dictates that the world should be governed by justice and righteousness, and we should get rid of warfare. But reality has demonstrated that that's not the way the nations of the world behaved. They did fight wars that caused tremendous amount of destruction, contrary to what human logic dictates. So it's clear that this announcement, this declaration that they're going to disarm, reduce armaments, cannot be based just on human logic, because human logic didn't work in reducing weapons and warfare. But the reason must be because we're getting closer to the time of the fulfillment of the promise, of the prophecy of the swords will be turned into plowshares, so that caused the nations of the world to change their attitude and to try to reduce the weaponry and armaments. And this is the whole essence of the Parsha of Mishpatim, that even things that are so rational, like getting rid of weapons, the nations of the world are executing because of God's commandment, because we're close to the time that Torah says is the time when we have to turn the swords into plowshares. And at the time of redemption, this is going to come to full development, that the whole world will only be engaged in the knowledge of God, as the Rambam concludes his Mishnah Torah, that the entire world will enjoy the knowledge of God permeating every aspect of the human mind. Now, in truth, this resolution of the leaders of the nations of the world in this regard, which is the beginning of Mashiach's efforts in this world, is a result of a ruling that was issued in recent times, ruling by rabbis. And when a rabbis rule, they have an effect on the world. That began with the ruling of the previous Rebbe that we already finished our service in the time of exile and we're ready for redemption. And likewise, the ruling that was given recently by rabbis who are entrusted with giving rulings and guidance to the Jewish people, that they rule that the time of redemption has arrived and we already passed the state of Becheskas Mashiach, the presumed Mashiach, to the point of the certain Mashiach, and this ruling has penetrated the world, has entered into the parameters of the world, and that's why the nations of the world have decided, based on their understanding, using the parameters of logic within this world, that it's a time to get rid of the weapons. There's also another connection that this has to the Parsha of Mishpatim. The end of the preceding Parsha of Yisrael talks about the altar. Why is the altar and Mishpatim put together? What's the reason for this juxtaposition? So our sages tell us that the Sanhedrin, the place where they used to judge these matters of Parshas Mishpatim, should be situated, their place where they would convene should be near the altar. They were in the Beis HaMikdash near the altar. And likewise, in the end of the Parsha, later on in the Parsha, it talks about the Beis HaMikdash, the place that I have prepared, which refers to the Beis HaMikdash. So that's another connection to the end of Golos and the beginning of Geula. Another thing about Parshas Mishpatim, that it leads us to Parshas Terumah, in which it says, you shall make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in them. And the reason why we could have the sanctuary is it revolves around the Parsha of Mishpatim, because it's the idea is that everything has already penetrated into the consciousness of the world and the human mind, and the world itself, because it has accepted and embraced this whole notion, declares that the time of redemption has arrived. That was expressed by the fact that the nations of the world have agreed on disarming. Now, in Parshas Mishpatim itself, we see the connection to the end of Golos and the beginning of Geula, because the whole Parshas Mishpatim is discussed in the part of the Talmud, of the Mishnah, called Nezikin, the order of damages, and the three Bavos, the three tractates, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra. Now, the deeper meaning of these tractates and this order of Nezikin, which means damages, is an allusion to the time of exile. Because when you have undesirable things like weapons that can cause destruction, that is a symbol of exile. Now, the three different tractates that deal with Nezikin, with damages, are divided into three different stages of exile. The first two tractates, Bava Kama and Bava Metzia, talk about damages, quarrels between litigants. But the third tractate, Bava Basra, which alludes to the end of the period of exile, talks about peace between people. It starts with the partners who want to divide their property. They have to build a partition. And the Talmud says because it's something that they want to do. It's not something that is imposed on them. And that is what we're talking about, that people in the world have come to the realization that we have to stop doing things that can cause damage to one another. Because the reason why you put a partition in a courtyard that was shared by two partners is to prevent one from looking into the other's private business. So this whole tractate indicates the idea of doing whatever we can do to prevent the damages between people. And the tractate ends with the words, if a person wants to be wise, he should engage in the laws and financial laws of the Torah, which is the very notion that we just spoke about, that the wisdom of the Torah penetrates human intellect, which will happen in the most complete way in the future redemption. And the end of the tractate also talks about many things that will happen in the time of redemption, such as God will make a feast for the tzaddikim. Based on all of the above, the question could be asked in the opposite direction. Since we already saw the fulfillment of so many of the signs that are connected to the future redemption, we already have the fulfillment of some of the prophecies of redemption, so how come we're still in exile? And because of this, we have to conclude how important it is to engage in the other things that bring and will bring to the redemption, and in the proper order. Number one, we have to focus on the Parshas Mishpatim, the laws that govern our human relationships. There should be agreement and there should be peace. Number two, we have to emphasize tzedakah and acts of loving kindness that are explained and detailed in this Parsha, where it talks about lending money. And those also encourage and hasten the redemption. Number three, the words that are Parsha of Truma, which comes as a continuation of Mishpatim, make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell within them, that means that every individual has to create his own sanctuary. As the famous interpretation of our sages, it doesn't say I will dwell in it, but in them, within each and every Jew. And this also includes expanding synagogues and houses of Torah study. And all this is hinted in the last days of the month. We start with the 25th until Erev Rosh Chodesh. 25 is the word Ko. Ko Sivaruch Hazman Yisrael. So shall you bless the children of Israel. So that symbolizes the idea of blessing and love of one another. 26 is the perfection and completion of Ko, which will happen in the future redemption, because 26 is the gematria of God's name, which will be fully revealed, and then in the future, in the times of the Geula, they will say the priestly blessing in the Beis HaMikdash with the ineffable name. They will actually pronounce God's name, Havaya. Then we come to the 27th, which is Zach, means pure olive oil, that relates to the lighting of the menorah, and the menorah also indicates the unity of all the Jewish people who are compared to the seven branches of the menorah, and they become one piece, as the menorah was made out of one piece of gold. The 28th is Koach, that means strength, that gives us increased strength in all of the foregoing matters. Chavtes, the 29th of this, Erev Rosh Chodesh, is the preparation for Rosh Chodesh, in which the moon is renewed after it was concealed Erev Rosh Chodesh, and that is a hint to the renewal of the Jewish people after the darkness that prevailed in the last moments of exile, and that they will become renewed just like the moon. And in conclusion, the Rebbe says, may it's kain tiyalanu, so shall it be for us in actuality, and it should be taken from miyad, immediately. And the word miyad, the Rebbe says, is a acronym that alludes to the last three stages of exile, besides the fact that it also alludes to Moshe, Yisrael. Moshe is the one who gave us the Torah, Yisrael is the Baal Shem Tov, and David is Mashiach, and also the Miyad refers to an order of the connection to us. It starts with Mem, which is Mashiach, whose name is Menachem, that begins with the letter Mem. The Yud stands for Yosef Yitzchak, the previous Rebbe, and the Dalet stands for Dovber, which is the second name of the Rebbe Rashab. So those are all contained within the word Miyad. Now, a summary of the synopsis. In these days, we see that the world is becoming prepared and ready through the efforts of Mashiach to the fulfillment of the promises and predictions of redemption, that the swords will be turned into plowshares and there will no longer be any war. And that's why the leaders of the superpowers have gathered to get rid of the armaments that lead to war and to use the money for the economy. And the connection to Mashiach is underscored by terms of the place in which it happened. It happened in New York, where the leader of our generation, the Mashiach of our generation, has made his living quarters, through which the dissemination of Torah and Judaism and the fountains of Torah have been spread to the whole world, including the teachings of justice and righteousness that are spread to the nations of the world. That is the force that brought about the fulfillment, the beginning of the fulfillment of that prediction, and also the time in which it happened, the day of Erev Shabbos, Parshas Mishpatim, Tavshin Nun Beis, is an appropriate and auspicious time for redemption. Number one, it's the month of Shvat, the 10th of which is the Hilula of the previous Rebbe, and the 11th is the day when the leadership was renewed. And number two, in general, this is the high point for the coming of Mashiach. Number three, it's Erev Shabbos, which is a preparation for Shabbos, and it refers to the future Shabbos, the eternal Shabbos, that we already have the elements of Shabbos in the Erev Shabbos, in the Eve of Shabbos. It's also the 26th day of the month, which is the numerical value of the name Havaya, which is a hint to the time when God's name will be fully revealed. And there's also a connection to the parshas of Mishpatim. Mishpatim are the mitzvahs that we understand, human intellect supports, but we do it because it's God's will that we do it. So we have God's will permeating even human intellect, because these are mitzvahs that, though we do because God commanded us to do, we do it in a way that we can understand it. And The reason why we do it ultimately is because God has commanded they came from Mount Sinai. And this is also true about the seven Noahide commandments that we disseminate to the non-Jews of the world, that they do it, they understand why these are important, but they have to do it because God commanded them to do it at Mount Sinai. And when we will see the perfection and the completion of this process, that'll be in the times of Mashiach, when the world's preoccupation will only be to know God exclusively. And then the Rebbe says that this resolution, that despite the fact that it's self-understood and logical that we should get rid of the weapons, nevertheless, we didn't see people behaving that way in the past. So we know that the reason why they're changing now is because, not because of their understanding, because they had that understanding previously, but because we're coming closer to the time that the Torah declares that the swords will be turned into plowshares, because this is what the leader of our generation declared, and the rabbis echoed this ruling, that we are in the time of redemption, and this has had the effect that the nations of the world will understand within their seichel, within their intellect, how important it is to behave in this manner. And that's exactly what the whole Parsha of Mishpatim is about. Things that came from Sinai, but they permeate our intellect. Another thing about Parshas Mishpatim, it's situated between Yisro, which talks about the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash, the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, and Parshas Terumah, which talks about the commandment to build the sanctuary. This is to underscore that the subjects of Geula and the Parshas of Yisro Mishpatim, of Terumah rather, are in a manner of Mishpatim, that they're not just above our intellect, but they permeate our minds and the parameters of the world, that the world itself declares and proclaims that this is the time of redemption. And number three, the Rebbe says about Parshas Mishpatim, Mishpatim which deals with damages, corresponds to the three different sections of the Talmud that talk about and relate to Golos. The last of the three, Bava Basra, talks about the end of the purity of Golos, where we already have partners who agree to make a separation to prevent one another from causing harm. That indicates that in the time that we're in right now, the end of Golos, we're already seeing the signs of the redemption, where nations of the world recognize they have to get rid of their weapons. And as it also says in the end of the tractate, whoever wants to be wise should study these laws. That means that the wisdom of Torah, as it penetrates and permeates the world, is coming to fruition. Based on the above, that the world itself declares that the time of redemption has arrived, and this is the understanding of the world, so that increases the question and the something is incredulous and it's filled with pain and lack of understanding. Why are we still in Golos? So we understand that we have to increase in those matters that bring to Geula, and that's why we have a special power that is given to us from the days of the last days of the month, the 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, and 29th of Shvat, and Rosh Chodesh Adar, the month in which all the sad things were transformed into redemption, into joy, the holiday of Purim, and Purim is juxtaposed to the next Geula of Pesach. So we're in a state where we're closer to redemption. We have this power from all the days that we're in right now to bring us to the redemption. And the Rebbe concludes that the deed is the essential thing. So the Rebbe has six items over here. Number one, we have to engage in our activities between ourselves in a manner of mishpat and judgment, but it should be in a manner of peace. Number two, we have to engage in tzedakah and acts of kindness. Number three, our behavior between ourselves should be in a way that each one wants the good for the other. Number four, we should create a sanctuary in our own heart and our own home, that our own home should become a place of Torah and tefillah and prayer and acts of kindness, and also participate in construction and expansion of shuls and houses of study, of Torah study. Number five, the priestly blessing that every Jew says at the beginning of the day should say with a feeling of love for one another. Number six, we should serve God in a manner of shivisi havayil in Egdisami. We should always keep God in front of us at all times. Now, the highlights of this talk, that the leaders of the nations of the world have made a declaration and a resolution. This is Erev Shabbos of Parshas Mishpatim, about turning the swords into plowshares. Where did this come about? How did this come about? It's a result of the announcement of the rabbis that the time of Mashiach is coming. That began already with the previous Rebbe declaring that we already finished all of our deeds, and that throughout the course of exile, and we're prepared for the greeting of Mashiach, and also the ruling of rabbis recently, that the time of redemption, when a king from the house of David will arise, who's presumed to be Mashiach, until it leads to the state of, he is certainly Mashiach. And the Rebbe said also, one could say, that the reason that by virtue of this meeting that occurred in the city of a leader of our generation, in which the leaders of different countries, including the leader of this country, that had to come from the capital to this city, and this we see a hint to the fact that it's all part of a result of the dissemination of Torah and Judaism, of righteousness throughout the whole world, that has happened as a result of the efforts of the leader of our generation, the Mashiach of our generation. And through the perfection and all of the above, the whole world will become fit and ready and prepared to the beginning of the activities of the Mashiach, who will judge amongst the nations and turn the swords into plowshares. Now, from the book, Besuras HaGeula, The Announcement of Redemption, which repeats many of the things that we just read, and the Rebbe says, in regard to recent events, first of all, it occurred that on the eve of this Shabbos, the heads of the great and important countries of the world, and at their head, the leaders of the two superpowers, convened together. They resolved and announced a new era in the relationship between the countries of the world. The status of war between the nations of the world was nullified, to be expressed in a reduction and elimination of weapons of destruction until there is peace and unity, a working partnership and strong cooperation between nations for the good of all mankind. Prior to this event, by divine providence, the president of this country declared to all his people on Wednesday the preparation for Shabbos, the beginning of the eve of the Shabbos. Shabbos preparation begins in earnest starting with Wednesday, and it was announced that he would announce and publicize a reduction and elimination of weapons of destruction, utilizing the money that was not spent to procure weapons to expand economic programs that provide for the citizenry. The announcement was confirmed by Congress, wherein the laws of the country are established, and which have the force of law according to Torah, because the law of the government according to Torah is the law. So one has to consider the lesson as well as the details of the event, its time, its place, including its connection to the contents of the time in the Torah, the Parsha of the week, as will be explained. The lesson of this event is a general and fundamental aspect of the divine service of the Jewish people to bring the coming of Mashiach, which is the divine service that we have in exile. One of the promises of the true and final redemption through a righteous Mashiach is connected to the conduct of the nations of the world. As it says, they shall beat their swords into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. As it says in the book of Yeshayahu. Furthermore, this will occur through the activity of our righteous Mashiach himself. As stated in the beginning of the verse, he will judge among the nations and reprove many peoples. The judge refers to King Mashiach, for he is the master of all the peoples, and he reproves them. He says to whoever in whom is found sin, let the crooked be made straight. And because of this will not be war between one nation and another, because he will make peace between them. And they will not need weapons of war. They will beat them to make of them utensils for working the ground. All this is a quote from the Radak, a commentary on the book of Yeshayahu. 4, quote, at the end of the days, the mount of the house of the Lord will be mended, and all the nations will flow to it. Many peoples will go, and they will say, let us go to the mount of God, to the house of the God of Yaakov, and learn from his way and go in his paths. Because the Torah goes forth from Zion, and the word of God from Jerusalem. Another quote from the book of Yeshayahu and Micha. And the one who will teach them is the King Mashiach, upon whom it is said, and he will judge. Again from the commentary of Radak. The heads of the nations of the world, the Rebbe continues, are resolving and announcing the reduction and elimination of weapons of destruction and an expansion of programs that provide sustenance for the country and the world as a whole. This is the content of the promise that they shall beat their swords into plowshares, breaking weapons of war to make them vessels for working the ground, ground from which comes bread. Since they are currently making this resolution, this is a clear sign concerning the beginning of the fulfillment of this promise of the true and complete redemption through a righteous Mashiach. And the Rebbe goes on, a further clarification. Since we find ourselves in the highest time of the coming of our righteous Mashiach, behold, he, the King Mashiach, comes. We already see an example in the beginning of the effect of the King Mashiach on the nations, and he judges between the nations and reproves many peoples, and they shall beat their swords to plowshares. Essentially, God is inspiring the rulers of the world. The heart of kings and princes is in the hand of God, as it says, that God is inspiring them to resolve and announce together concerning the position and situation that they should beat their swords into plowshares. The resolution and announcement occurred specifically at this time because of its special connection with the true and complete redemption through a righteous Mashiach. It may be added that the connection of the event to the beginning of the activities of a righteous Mashiach is also emphasized in the details of the event, namely the time and place where the heads of state made the resolution and announcement concerning the beating of the swords into plowshares. Where did this occur? It occurred in the country and city of Beis Rabbeinu Shebavel, the house of our Rebbe in Bavel, which is Beis Chayenu, the synagogue and study hall, the house of Torah, prayer, and acts of loving kindness of my sainted father-in-law, the leader of our generation. He chose this place, and this is the headquarters that he designated from which the Torah shall go forth, dissemination of Torah and the wellsprings throughout the entire world until the coming of a righteous Mashiach. And then also we will see the promise that they shall beat the swords into plowshares. So what does this mean? When the leader of our generation came to this lower hemisphere and established his residence in this country and city, they began in force the purification and refinement of the lower hemisphere, extending there the revelation of the giving of the Torah, which was in the upper hemisphere. Moreover, it became the source from which extended and spread the fundamental activity of disseminating the wellsprings outward, literally into all corners of the world. This was done through his emissaries that he sent throughout the world, his shluchim, to the farthest corner imaginable in order to disseminate Torah and Judaism to the Jewish people, and including, and specifically, those dwelling among the Gentiles and speaking their language and acting in all appearances like them. Further, and this is also essential, he disseminated matters of goodness, justice, and integrity between the nations of the world as well through the fulfillment of the seven Noahide commandments. As greatly emphasized in recent years, as we come closer and approach the time of the coming of a righteous Mashiach, as it says, I will turn to the nations a pure language to call all of them on the name of God to serve him with one consent. In this last period, which began in the year of miracles, continuing into the years of wonders I will show him and wonders in everything, this activity, the Rebbe says, has reached its climax with the breaking down of the boundaries of that country, in other words, the Soviet Union, which at its inception engraved on its flag and declared a war against the dissemination of Torah and Judaism to the extent of waging war against the Creator. And this includes the imprisonment of the previous Rebbe and consequently his expulsion from that country. Nevertheless, the activities of the shluchim, of the leader of a generation, extended even there, spreading Torah and Judaism in secret with self-sacrifice. This continued until recently, when the decrees of the country were nullified, and now it became possible to continue the activities of spreading Torah and Judaism with greater strength and vigor, open and publicly. Finally, the previous government fell, and a new government was established, declaring itself for justice, integrity, and peace, based on belief in the Creator and Guide of the world. As a continuation of this, on the eve of this Shabbos, a meeting between the new president of that country and the president of this country, this meeting occurred in partnership with other leaders of other countries, and there they accepted the resolution that the sword should be beaten into plowshares. Now this happened in the city of the leader of our generation, my sainted father-in-law, and that implies that this came as a result of his activities in disseminating Torah and Judaism and justice throughout the world. And that was done through the leader of our generation, the Mashiach of the generation. And this is so to such an extent that through the completion of the divine service mentioned above, at this time the whole world is made ready for the beginning of the activities of Mashiach. The time in which this event occurred is also appropriately connected with redemption because of its connection to the life of the leader of our generation, because it occurred in the month of Shvat, the 10th of which is the Helula, which is the completion and perfection of the divine service of the previous Rebbe. And the 11th of Shvat is the beginning of the expansion of his leadership, which happened on the 11th day of the month of Shvat. And this continued for the last 42 years, corresponding to the 42 stages of travel in the desert of nations, which is the allusion to exile. So therefore, we are already prepared and poised to enter the land in the true and final redemption. For the time, as well as the place of the announcement, they shall beat the swords into plowshares, emphasize the connection with the activities of the leader of our generation, my father-in-law, the Mashiach of the generation, through whom it is will be fulfilled the promise of they will beat the swords into plowshares. And the Rebbe said later, it may be said that the resolution and announcement, the leaders of the nations of the world and their leaders, that occurred on the eve of Shabbos Parshas Mishpatim, is an effect of the resolution of the rabbis who are called our kings that Mashiach is coming. Hine Mashiach ba, Mashiach comes. And this actually began with the decree of my father-in-law that we have already completed our work and divine service in the course of exile and we're prepared to greet Mashiach and to continue through the ruling of the rabbis that the time of redemption has arrived and that a king from the house of David will arise. And he is presumed that he is Mashiach until the situation that he is certainly Mashiach. These are decrees from Sinai which extend into and penetrate the barriers of the world as well to such an extent that the leaders of the nations resolve and announce voluntarily concerning the situation of getting rid of the weapons, which is the fulfillment of the beating of the swords into plowshares. According to what was said above, the wonder and amazement becomes much stronger, together with pain and confusion. A pain so great that you shouldn't go into discussion about this at length in Shabbos. How is it possible that the Jewish people still find themselves in exile? Until when? It is possible that after all the signs that the true and complete redemption is coming imminently, an actual reality, including the event of this eve of Shabbos, when the nations of the world announce that they're going to reduce their weapons, how could it be that we're still in exile outside of our holy land on this day of Shabbos, instead of being together with all the Jewish people from all corners of the world in our holy land in Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash, gathered at the table prepared and set for the meal before the people, upon which is set Leviyasan on the Shor HaBar and the Yayin HaMishumer, how could it be that we're still not there? And further, and this is essential, the announcement, the commandment, and the power to make a sanctuary, I will dwell among them, which we'll read at Mincha, in regard to the third Beis HaMikdash, has not yet been received. God did not yet give the signal to build the Beis HaMikdash. So, of course, from this is understood the great need and the urgency to increase with greater vigor and greater force involvement in those things that bring and hasten the actual redemption imminently and immediately. And the Rebbe said, first of all, the things that we have to do are emphasized in the Parsha of Mishpatim. Mishpatim are the details of the laws between people in order to achieve peace. And obviously the absence of its opposite nullifying the cause of the final exile, which brings the redemption, as our sages of blessed memory said about the advantage of justice with Tzion will be built. As it says, Tzion will be redeemed with justice. This also applies to tzedakah, as it says, and its captives will return through tzedakah, an act of loving kindness, as explained in our parsha, where it talks about the lending of money, and these are all things that bring the redemption. Also, the relevant section of Bava Basra, which explains in details the concepts of the mitzvah of tzedakah. Among them, it says that great is tzedakah because it brings close the redemption. As a continuation of this, there's also a lesson from the beginning of Parshas Truma, where we will read about making a sanctuary for me and I will dwell in them, which means in each and every Jew within his inner heart. To make a sanctuary, his house, his room, house should be a house of Torah, prayer, and acts of loving kindness. This includes in particular joining and building and expanding synagogues and houses of study in a manner of, as the Torah says in Parshas Truma, take from me Truma, gold and silver and copper. There are 13 or 15 different items numerated there, and through which is accelerated and hastened and effected immediately the building of the third Beis HaMikdash in reality in the simple sense. And this resolution should bring immediately the reward, the redemption, and this should be in reality, so that the Malava Malka, the meal after Shabbos, which is called the meal of David, King Mashiach, will be arranged in partnership with the leader of our generation, our righteous Mashiach at our head in our holy land in Yerushalayim in the third Beis HaMikdash. May it be his will, and this is the most fundamental matter, that the true and complete redemption through a righteous Mashiach comes in actual reality imminently and immediately, with all the explanations of the word Miyad, which means immediately, which is an acronym of both Moshe, Yisrael, and David, which refers to Mashiach, and also refers to Mashiach, and Menachem is his name, the Mem of Miyad, Yosef Yitzchak is the Yud, and Dovber is the name of the Rebbe Rashab. These three generations are connected to redemption. And that should happen with all the explanations of the word mamish, which means really, and above all, immediately, in the literal meaning of the word mamish, really, really, really.